سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی های گمنام در تهران است، خانم الیسا با 23 سال هوشیاری از امریکا می باشند. موضوع جلسه امشب هم قدم 6 و 7 است. سدی جان سلام، بفرمایید جلسه تحویل شماست.
سلام. Hi Alison, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you so much. Welcome to Iran. You're speaking about the step 6 and 7, and I am ready and honored to translate for you. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Hi, I'm Alyssa. I'm an alcoholic. I'm grateful to be here and honored to be here. Really is a privilege, and I hope that I say something that is helpful to someone. Really grateful for AA, you know, and for all that it's given me and the world that it has opened up. I started drinking when I was pretty young. I grew up, I had two brothers, and I remember, like, when I was playing the around 10 or 11, my older brother had, like, this clubhouse, and I really wanted to be in it, and he's like, well, if you want to be in it, smoke some weed, like, just for his friends, and just kind of, oh, I'm sorry, I should stop.
Yeah, it would be good if you do that. And, Alison, are you having a good connection?
Can you hear okay? Is that...
Yeah, if you could speak a little louder, I would really appreciate that. Go ahead. Yeah, if you can get closer to your microphone, that would be great for me. I'm grateful for that. سلام دوستان عزیزم، من الیسا هستم، یک الکلی. باعث افتخار منه که اینجا توی جلسه شما باشم و بتونم یه چیزی بگم که برای همه شما و هممون مفید باشه و یک پیامی بدم. در ضمن این که از خود انجمن خیلی کم شروع کردم و دو تا برادر داشتم. الیسا، do you have me?
I do now. I lost you for a second.
Yeah, I switched to VPN. So start from the fact that you started at a very young age.
Okay.
Brothers, okay.
Sure. I started when I was pretty young. Both of my parents worked, and I had two brothers.
Okay, two more.
And we basically took care of ourselves because our parents worked a lot. And so when I was young, my older brother had a clubhouse that I wanted to be in.
Okay. Elisa, did you say your parents were alcoholics?
No. Okay. No, they weren't. They just worked a lot.
اوکی okay. الیسا میگه که من مشروب خوردن رو در سن خیلی پایین شروع کردم و پدر مادرم خیلی سرشون شلوغ بود و خیلی کار میکردن. دو تا برادر داشتم. برادر بزرگم یه کلوب داشت و من همش دلم میخواست که برم به کلوب اون. Go ahead.
Sure. So I started experimenting with not alcohol at that age, but weed, marijuana, and just doing stuff to try to fit in with my brothers. But I didn't really start drinking much until I was probably 12 or 13 years old.
من تجربه اولیمو با مشروب لزوما شروع نکردم، با ماریجوانا و اینا شروع کردم و این کارا رو میکردم که بتونم با برادرم خودم رو وارد زندگی برادرم بکنم و مثل اون بشم و 12-13 سالم بود که دستم به این کارا بند شد. تا اون موقع ها خیلی جدی نبود. گوه
Okay. So when I first started drinking, I used to have best friends and stay at their houses a lot, and my best friend in the eighth grade used to have parties at her house, and her mother let us drink.
اوایلی که شروع کردم پیش دوستان میموندم بیشتر و اونا مثلا کلاس هشتم و اینا بودن و مهمونی میدادن و مادراشون اجازه میدادن که اونا توی مهمونی ها مشروب بخورن. اوکی؟
So when at the parties, I remember my friend's mother saying to me, Alyssa, I'm worried about you. Why don't you, you never dance or talk to anybody. All you do is chase us around asking for more of our drink. So from the beginning, I drank to get drunk. There was no ulterior motive. I just wanted to lose conscious contact with reality.
تو مهمونی ها مادرای دوستانم به من میگفتن که ایلیسا ما برای تو همچی یک کم نگرانیم، تو چرا هیچ موقع نه صحبت میکنی نه میرقصی؟ و ایلیسا میگه من از همون اولشم مشروب میخوردم که مست بشم و ارتباطم با واقعیت قطع بشه. دلیل مشروب خوردنم تو مهمونی ها این بود. اوکی؟
So, you know, I never really liked school much. I'm dyslexic, and so I just wasn't into school at all. So I remember in the seventh and eighth grade, I would just get, you know, drink, and like my goal was to get suspended the most. I had no idea of like any goals in life, really. It was just hanging out and doing, you know, getting drunk and so
okay. I got it. هیچ وقت الیسا میگه من تو حال و هوای درس خوندن نبودم. من دیسلکسیا داشتم که میشه پرشخوانی و یه ذره جا به جا خوندن چیزایی که نوشته میشه. برای همین تو کلاس ششم، هفتم و هشتم همچی دل خوشی از مدرسه نداشتم، خیلی هم انجام نمیدادم کارامو خوب و هیچ ایده‌ای نداشتم از اینکه اصلا هدف یعنی چی و هدف من نبود اصلا زندگیم، هدفی برای خودم نداشتم. Okay.
So when I was around 15, I met my friend who I really started drinking with all the time. She was like 16 and she had a 2-year-old son at the time, and she was basically homeless. So we would just walk around and just drink all night. Her friend, I remember another kid in school's parents, you know, was like, what's wrong with them? They're like, you know, they're just, you know, just commenting on how kind of crazy it was. But it was normal for, it seemed normal to me because what I did. So I remember one time when probably I was, not that long after we started, well, it was a while. After we started hanging out, there was the liquor store that used to sell us alcohol because they weren't supposed to. Her mother like went there and took pictures of us, like, don't sell them any more alcohol. They're minors. And so when I probably had like 10 years sober, and I was walking down the street and I saw this man and he was like, remembered me, and I didn't know where from. I was like, you know, guessing different places. He's like, no, I used to work at that liquor store where you guys used to come to, you know, you used to come to, you know, and try to buy alcohol. It was funny. He was also in AA, which was kind of crazy, okay. But yeah.
Lisa, you know, it's funny, Johnny, because صداشم زیاد قطع و وصل میشه. البته میگه من دوربر 15 سالم بود و با دوستم میرفتم مشروب فروشی و
مشروب میخریدیم و خب مشروب فروختن به 15 ساله جرمه و نمیدن به 15 ساله مشروب. این است که الیسا میگه مادر یکی از دوستان رفت و عکس ما رو داد به این مشروب فروشه و گفتش که به اینا مشروب نده، اینا زیر سن قانونی هستن و نباید مشروب بخورن. یه زمانی بعدش وقتی که من 10 سال هوشیاری داشتم این آقا رو میبینم، این مردی که مشروب میفروخته و اون منو میشناسه و من نمیشناختمش. میگه یادت میاد تو میومدی مشروب بخری و زیر سن قانونی بودی؟ و عجیب اینه که خود اون آقا هم که مشروب میفروخته اون موقع تو انجمن بوده. اوکی، that was quite a story.
So me and her, we drank a lot for our age, obviously. And I remember one time I looked at her and I just noticed all these bottles around us. She was saying we were like in a motel room and there's just a whole bunch of bottles. I looked at her, do you think we're alcoholics? And she was like, no, we're just luscious. I was like, oh, good, you know, and past the drinking, past the alcohol. And there's a place in the big book where it talks about people, like, we think that most potential drinkers, you know, could probably stop at some point before they cross the line, but few of them would have enough desire to stop. So that's the part, it reminds me of that. Maybe I could have quit, but okay.
Elisa, could you tell me that part about the big book again?
Oh, in the big book it talks about, like, potential alcoholics that, like, are drinking heavily, but they could stop if they want to probably at that point, but few of them will really want to stop. And that's what it reminded me.
Okay. I got it. میگه منو دوستم که 15 سالش بودونم خیلی با هم دیگه مشروب میخوردیم و یه بار من نگاش کردم تو اتاق یه موتلی بودیم و همینجور دوروبرمون پر از بطری های مشروب و بطری خالی بود و من بهش گفتم که ببین ما به نظر میرسه الکلی هستیم و اون گفت نه ما الکلی نیستیم. و یاد کتاب بیگ بوک میفتم که میگه خیلی از ما الکلی های بالقوه هستیم که در اون مقطع میتونن قطع بکنن الکل خوردنشونو، ولی تعدادی کمی از ما هستن که میخوایم که قطع بکنیم. این از کتاب بیگ بوک الکلی ها الیسا گفت. اوکی.
So I didn't really go to school. I remember, like, one day just wondering, like, why do we even go to school? Like, what was the point? I just had no idea. Like, nothing seemed to have any meaning or goal to me at that, you know, I was young. But when I was 17, I got pregnant. And my mother put me out of the house, but she paid first and last for an apartment and got me some food to set me up to go. And I remember my talk with my father was, well, I don't really care what you do, just don't ask me for anything. And that was like my relationship with my father. So, and I stopped drinking and doing everything when I was pregnant because I finally had some kind of reason, you know, things mattered and in a way that hadn't before.
Okay, started doing everything, you mean in terms of drugs?
Oh, I didn't, yeah, I stopped. Well, I never really, I experimented a little bit, like, well, I smoked marijuana when I was young, but I mainly drank. A lot of my friends were doing drugs at the time, but I mainly drank.
Okay.
But I stopped.
Stop
smoking cigarettes, drinking coffee, alcohol, yeah.
Okay. میگه که من 17 سالم بود که حامله شدم و پدرم به من گفت، و ببخشید من متوجه نشدم که گفت مادرم چی گفت، ولی پدرم به من گفت که هر کاری که میخوای بکنی بکن، اما از من چیزی نخواه. اینکه تکلیف منو با پدر معلوم کرد و من به خاطر اینکه حامله بودم همه چیزو گذاشتم کنار در حاملگی، مشروب و سیگار و قهوه رو، و خیلی من مواد مصرف نمی کردم تو سن کم، اون اوایل یکی دو بار ماریجوانا به تعداد کم، ولی در اصل عمل من مشروب خوردم بود که اونا رو گذاشتم سر حاملگی کنار. اوکی؟
So when I remember, like, my parents were hippies when I was a kid, and like I said, we mainly raised ourselves. So I had never went to church or anything like that. But I remember when the doctor handed my daughter to me, I just looked up and I was like, thank you, God. And in the big book, it talks about deep down inside of every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. And that's what that always reminded me of. So...
من هیچ موقع تو بچگیم و تو سن جوانیم و اینا به کلیسا و اینا نرفته بودم، ولی یادمه که وقتی دکتر دخترم رو داد تو دستام، گذاشت توی دستم، نگاه کردم و گفتم ازت ممنونم خدایا. و این همون حرف کتاب بزرگ ماست که میگه در عمق وجود همه ما، در درون همه ما، یک ایده بنیادین از خداوند وجود داره. این همونی بود که کتاب بیگ بوک ما گفته.
When I first came to AA, I thought that I used to say that, and I was sober for like 3 years once, but that's because at the time, like, I drank every once in a while, but not all the time, and also, like, not, I wasn't doing drugs, and at the time, like, there was just like a big, like, cocaine was really big out here among young people, and all my friends were doing it. So I, you know, I knew my daughter saved my life in many ways, but, you know, and I did start, like, I got my GED from high school. I started watching kids, you know, so I could to make a living and be home with my daughter, and I started working at a Montessori school. So, you know, I started wanting to do stuff, and so that my daughter wouldn't end mm-hmm. up like I did.
Okay, اولی که اومدم توی AA و بعد صحبت از این کرد، حرفش اونجا قطع کرد و گفت که من یه بار 3 سال هوشیار بودم و گاهی میخوردم، ولی باز برای مدت ها نمیخوردم و اهل مواد زدنم نبودم. دوستام و دور و بریام و اینا کوکائین و این چیزا استفاده میکردن، و من میدونم که دخترم با به دنیا اومدنش زندگی منو به اشکال مختلف نجات داد که من دست از مشروب خوردن به خاطر اون بکشم. من مدرکمو از دبیرستان گرفتم و شروع کردم در مونتسوری اسکول، یک نوع مدرسه به خصوصی به نام مونتسوری، بنیانگذارش خانمی بوده به نام مادام مونتسوری، شروع میکنه اونجا به درس دادن. اوکی؟ okay? You started teaching at Montessori.
Oh, okay. So yeah, and the head of the school like let my daughter go there for free as part of like my part of how I was paid. So you know, I'm really grateful for that. And around that time, like, I was in this, I was doing this survey with this lady, and, you know, it was basically for this book she was doing, like, teen parents and stuff. But the chapter on me she had named, it's embarrassing because it's all embarrassing, but she had called motivation and fighting spirit, because you know there was I wanted to present a certain self, like part of me to the outside world, but inside, like I knew I would still get drunk sometimes and I wouldn't live up to the what I was trying to pretend or what be.
رئیس مدرسه به من اجازه داده بود که دخترم بچه‌ام مجانی بیاد به مدرسه مونتسوری به عنوان بخش از حق و زحمه من، و اون زمان من اون حواشی داشتم روی یه پروژه مانندی کار میکردم، مثل حالت تحقیق، بیشتر راجع به به حالتهای انگیزه داشتن و اینکه چطوری با ترست مقابله کنی و با ترست کنار بیای. و من دلم میخواست که مشروب نخورم، زندگی بهتری داشته باشم. اوکی؟
Sorry, this is a little scattered. I stayed pretty much sober. I drank every once in a while, but pretty much sober until I was 21. And then I had went out with a friend from, I knew from what I called pregnant school, which is just a, where they sent us when, in high school. So, and, you know, it, I learned then that one thing I know for sure is that for me as an alcoholic, I may, because I thought I had done so well, I had earned my right to drink or whatever. But just as far as staying out of trouble and getting on track. But alcoholics like me can earn our right to a lot of stuff, but drinking is not one of them, and it's nothing I would want to earn, you know, anything to. Because, you know, once I pick up a drink, start drinking again, it's just like, it, I lose control over how much and when I stop.
الیسا میگه ببخشید من داره پراکنده صحبت میکنم، ولی تا اون موقع گاهی میخوردم گاهی نمیخوردم و تو 23 سالگی تا 23 سالگی هوشیار بودم و با بچه های مدرسه رفت آمد میکردم، خودم فکر میکردم دارم خوب عمل میکنم. و میدونید یه الکلی مثل من حق داره همه کاری بکنه و میتونه هر تفریحی داشته باشه، اما به غیر از مشروب خوردن، چون من اولین لیوان مشروبی که برمیدارم دیگه نمیتونم بذارم زمین و هی میخورم و معلوم نیست که به کجا ختم میشه. بنابراین این یه دونه کاری که من باید نکنم. اوکی؟
So I you know at this time I started going to college, started at community college, and I was going to be a teacher. But I kept starting, like, once I got back into drinking, really, it just kept getting worse and worse. And I got married a couple times. And, it, like, as far as living a double, like, wanting to live that double life that it talks about, you know, like, I just got married, and I didn't tell anybody. Like, as if, you know, I would lie. I remember my friend asking me, well, I heard you got married. I was like, no, I didn't. And I'm the one that had to live it. Like, nobody else, you know, really cared that much. But to me, I don't know why I was just kept everything top secret.
Okay, میگه که should I go? Okay, let me go. الیسا میگه تو اون مقطع از زمان من داشتم میرفتم کالج محلی و دلم میخواست معلم بشم، هدفم این بود و دوباره مشروب خوردنم شروع میشد و منو به دردسر و گرفتاری مینداخت. ازدواج کردم، من البته چندین بار ازدواج کردم و اینی که کتاب ما میگه تو بیگ بوک ما یک زندگی دوگانه داریم، من ازدواج میکردم و نمیگفتم، راجع بهش دروغ میگفتم و دوستان مثلا وقتی ازم سوال میکردم میگفتم که نه اینطوری نیست، ازدواج نکردم. و به نظر من میومد که همه چیز یک سیکرت خیلی بزرگی بود که من دوست نداشتم بگم، من دوست نداشتم راستشو بگم، زندگی دوگانه یک الکلی. اوکی؟
So but I did did make it to be a senior in college, and I I always thought that my favorite thing was I just don't give a F about anything, and I thought that I just didn't want to feel anything, and I thought that that's what I wanted, but I didn't realize that I didn't get to pick and choose what I cared about. So by the end of it, like, I gave up everything that I did start caring about and wanting to do. I gave up again, you know, just getting drunk because just to lose, you know, going just to stay, you know, lose conscious contact with reality, do that for me doing that long enough, it just made me crazy.
Okay. به هر حال میگه کاری که میکردم اینه که تا سال آخر کالج خودم رو رسوندم و اساسا من به چیزی اهمیت نمیدادم خیلی و نمیفهمیدم دلیل این که باید یه سری کارهای درست رو بکنم چیه و دوباره مشروب اومد به من غلبه پیدا کرد و من میخوردم دیگه میخوردم برای اینکه میخواستم ارتباطمو با واقعیت قطع بکنم. این دلیل مشروب خوردن من بود و من مدام چیزهایی رو که براش تقلا کرده بودم که اونا رو به دست بیارم یهو ول میکردم، پشت میکردم به اون چیزا و میرفتم به سراغ مشروب خوری و مشروب خوریم هم همونطور که گفتم به دلیل این بود که میخواستم قطع ارتباط بکنم با واقعیت ها. اوکی؟
So one day when I was on my way to school, I had taken a test and I thought that I failed because I was just drinking so much and wasn't focusing at all on the test. And so I didn't want to go see what the result was because I thought I failed. And I was stuck at a red light and across the street was a liquor store and I looked up the hill was the school and I was just kept looking back and forth and I just made a U-turn. I was like, I'm not going to go to school anymore. I'm just going to, you know, drink. So I went and got some bunch of alcohol and brought it to my friend's house. And, you know, that's just decided after making it to be a senior, like right before I would graduate, I dropped out. And, when I was got sober, should I stop first?
یه روزی داشتم رفتم مدرسه و مشروب زیادی هم خورده بودم و همجور که میرفتم این چراغ قرمز بود، این بالای تپه بودم و دست راستم یا اون حواشی منم مشروب فروشی بود و من یه لحظه به خودم گفتم که نمیخوام اصلا برم مدرسه. پیاده شدم یه عالمه مشروب خریدم و رفتم با دوستام دادم به اونا و نشستیم دور هم و درست این قبل از فارغ التحصیلی من بود که این اتفاق افتاد. بازگشت به همون زمانی که من درست قبل از اینکه به نتیجه برسم چیزا رو ول می کردم. اوکی؟
So when I had like 6 months sober and I was trying to go back to school so I could finish and I one of the things that they said was a requirement because I had, you know, told them, you know, I had dropped out of school like for get my financial aid and then not go, you know, when I was drinking. But then this time, like they said, one of the conditions for me to go back into college and finish was that I take that test or get, because I had an incomplete in the class, so I had to get credit for the class. And I didn't have the book or anything, so I was like, I'm not sure how I'm going to do this, but I had to pass the class. And, you know, what I found out was I had got an A on that test that I wouldn't go. That I was so sure that I failed. But I went and took the test, just not, you know, years. It was a lot of years later. And I passed it, though, and they did let me back into school. So, but that was once I got sober on the head.
من مدام سعی میکردم که برگردم به مدرسه، برگردم به درس و کتاب و درسم رو تموم کنم و خب چند بار از مدرسه اومده بودم بیرون برای اینکه کمک از مدرسه دریافت میکردم، کمک مالی، و بالاخره یه بار که خواستم برم گفتن که یه شرط و شروطی برای من گذاشتن که بعد این کلاس رو قبول بشی و بری. و به هر حال کوتاهش اگه بخوام بکنم اینه که میگه اون کلاس رو بالاخره گرفتم و قبول شدم توی اون کلاس، نمره خوبم رو بردم. اوکی؟
So I remember when I was kind of had a few months, well, had a, like, maybe 6 months sober, I remember this lady saying, like, when she, one time she lifted her hand to her husband, and she knew that she had a problem. And I was like, me and my ex-husband, because we were crazy and both alcoholics, so I was like, we used to chase each other around the house with knives. You know, I thought everybody did that because, you know, it all seemed normal, all the insanity. And just once I got sober, I was like, oh, my God. But so I, at this point, I just drank a whole lot for a while. And I, by the end of my drinking, my friends that were even drug addicts were telling me that I had a problem and, like, go to AA and all this stuff. So back to going. So I,
okay. Did you say you used to follow each other with a knife?
We were crazy. Yeah.
I've done that too. اوکی میگه یادم یه وقتی زمانی که هوشیار بودم یکی از دوستای من منو برد پیش همسرش و اونم مثل من مشروب میخورد و من دوباره بعد از یه مدتی افتادم توی چرخه مشروب خوردن و یه روز خیلی خورده بودم و دنبال هم دیگه ما میکردیم تو خونه با چاقو و میگفتیم میخندیدیم و من فکر میکردم این کار نرماله، همه میکنن، یه شوخی عادیه و متوجه نبودم که این کار نرمال نیست. بالاخره همه شروع کردم بهم بگن که بهتر من برم AA. اوکی؟
My last year drinking or around my last year, you know, me and my F were breaking up, you know, and I was so upset, but I was also crazy. And he actually had went to jail. But I remember when I was pretty newly sober, when they talked about, you know, I thought we had some great spiritual connection, but it was just really one alcoholic talking to another, because he understood we were drunk, but he understood when I wake up, oh my God, did I do that? Please, you know, just don't tell me. I don't want to know what I did the day before or whatever. So we related on that level, but honestly, it wasn't what I thought it was. But, and for a long time, it was like, I thought he was the one that had the more of a problem because he got in more trouble. But I remember, like, you know, he would go in and out of jail. And I remember, you know, for the last few times he would come out and, like, he wouldn't drink. And I tried and I wouldn't either, but it got harder and harder. And I started finding myself, like, drinking, like, hiding alcohol and drinking it myself, trying to, so he wouldn't. So my alcohol was, it just kept progressing.
اوکی، یه آخرین سالهایی که من دیگه مشروب خوردم، یادمه که با دوست پسرم یا با اون آدم آقایی که رابطه داشتم دیگه میخواستیم با هم دیگه به هم بزنیم و یه وقتایی من فکر میادم که ما تجربه های روحانی با هم دیگه داریم وقتی که حرف میزنیم، ولی همونطور که کتاب میگه یک مست با یک مست دیگه داره حرف میزنه و رابطه برقرار میکنه و این تفاوت داره با تجربه روحانی و برای مدت طولانی اینطوری بود. اون بیشتر از من البته مشکل داشت چون بیشتر از من به دردسر میافتاد، مدام میرفت داخل زندان و میومد بیرون و منم شروع کرده بودم مقدار زیادی مشروب میگرفتم و اینا رو قایم میکردم جای مختلف خونه و فکر میکنم دیگه پیشروندگی مشروب خوردنش بوده. الیسا، اوکی؟
So I remember my friends were always telling, like, had started telling me to go to AA a lot because, like I said, I was getting pretty crazy. I remember my first AA meeting I went to, and I raised my hand. It was only like two people there. I raised my hand. I was like, I can't imagine life without alcohol. And I couldn't. Like, you know, how do you do anything? I didn't really hear, like, when they were saying, get a big book and work with a sponsor, all the suggestions, or keep coming back. Like, I managed to stay sober 4 days. And so I wanted to show my friends how sober I was. And, you know, I was proud of myself, like, wow. and not do all the crazy stuff that I always did. A friend of mine was having like a party at a club, and so I was going to prove to them how sober I was. Because last time, you know, I would always get drunk, act crazy, like get into somewhat of car accidents or just crazy stuff. So I was going to prove to them how sober I was. Hello?
Okay.
So I have four days.
Do you hear me? Do you have me?
Yeah.
Okay. میگه دوستای من ارسان میگه دوستام خیلی زیاد مدام به من میگفتن برو ای ای چون مثل که من داشتم حالت خلوزی من و کارهای من رو دوستام میدیدم و من یادم اولین جلسه ای ای که رفتم ما اصلا سه نفر بودیم من دستم رو بلند کردم و گفتم نمیتونم من زندگی رو بدون الکل مجسم کنم اصلا تجسمش برام سخته دوستان گفتن برو یه دونه کتاب الکلیا رو بگیر و بیا بشین تو جلسه و مشارکت کن و یه سری کاری که همه باید بکنن به من میگفتن که منم بکنم اونجا و منم خیلی دوست داشتم که به دوستان بگم من هوشیار موندم من الان دیگه مشروب نمیخورم و یه سری از اون کارهای دیوانواری رو که مدام انجام میدادم خیلی دلم میخواست بگم که من دیگه اون کارا رو نمی کنم و بمونم اینجا. Okay?
So on my way to the club that I was going to, my mind told me that I could have a 22 ounce of Miller's because that didn't count. Now, where I got that, like the big book talks about the blank spots that the alcoholic has or whatever. So on my way, I got a 22 ounce of Miller's, and then I got there and I was telling my friends how sober I was, and then I started ordering strawberry daiquiris, and they were like, wait, I thought you were sober, I thought you didn't drink. I was like, oh, that doesn't count, only like hard alcohol counts. But by the end of the night, I was in the bathroom drinking E&J out of the bottle, doing all the crazy stuff I always did. And it's just like the big book talks about the phenomenon of craving. Once I pick up a drink, like it didn't matter what I wanted, I couldn't stop, you know.
Okay, I love the story of daiquiri. میگه خیلی خوب حالا توی راه یه کلوبی بود که ما میرفتیم و رفتیم تو اون کلوب با دوستام که من مدام میخواستم بهشون بگم من الان دیگه هوشیارم. کارای دیوونه ها رو نمی کنم، عاقل شدم، کارام درست شده. رفتیم توی یک کلوپی و ذهنم به من می گفت که یه دونه آبجوی 20 اونسی میلر سفارش بده و بخور. این همون نقاط سیاهیه که توی ذهن ما هست که توی کتاب ما میاد، میگه نقطه های تاریک و جاهای تاریک تو ذهن ما یهو به وجود میاد که ما رو پرتاب میکنه به مشروب خوردن. و آبجوه رو بالاخره سفارش دادم و به یه شکلی دیگه نمیدونم چجوری آبجوه رو خورده با دوستاش نشسته بودن دوره هم و یه دونه از این مشروبایی که توت فرنگی و یخ و اینا قاطی مشروبش کنم مشروبای سوسولی سفارش میده این مشروب خوشمزه ها و دوستاش میگن هی سب کن ما فکر کردیم که تو هوشیاری و دیگه مشروب نمیخوری و من گفتم که این خیلی مشروبش که مثلا مشروبی توش نداره و یه مدت کمی بعد دیدم که من داخل دستشویی دارم از خود بطری ویسکی خالص میخورم و این همون پدیده ویاریه که توی کتاب به ما میگه وقتی یه ذره بخوری و سلولهای بدنت بیدار بشه دیگه از کنترل تو خارجه و تو بیشتر و بیشتر میخوری و این برای من اتفاق افتاد. من رفتم تو دستشویی شروع کردم مشروب خیلی قوی بخورم. Okay.
I just noticed I'm going slow. I should finish. I did all the crazy stuff. I ended up doing all the crazy stuff I always did. And I remember coming to the next morning just, you know, with that pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, like, oh, I did it again. But I forgot all about AA. And, you know, my I just thought, okay, it'll be okay if I just don't leave the house, and then nobody will have to know. But I forgot that that my daughter had to know. She was like 9 by this time, and I was like 27, and you know, she was sober through all my crazy drunk stuff. So, but I didn't. I just thought I'd drink and like not talk to anybody, and I did that or tried to do that for like 8 months. Before I went back to AA and got sober.
Okay. دوباره اون شب توی اون کلوپه که من با مشروبای خیلی سبک شروع کردم و تو توالت یه عالم مشروبای سنگین خوردم، همه اون کارهای دیوانواری رو که همیشه موقع مشروب خوری انجام میدادم انجام دادم و روز بعد اون احساس بد به سراغ من اومد که توی کتاب میگه فروپاشی کامل شخصیتی. دوباره اون برای من اتفاق افتاد و من با خودم گفتم خیلی خوب، یه راه برای من مونده، من این راه رو انتخاب میکنم. از خونه نمیرم بیرون، مشروب میخورم و به کسی نمیگم، ولی حواسم نبود که دخترم تو خونه است و اون میفهمه. اون بچه 9 سالش بود، من 27 سالم بود و اگه هیچکی هم نمیفهمید اون که میفهمید. من 8 ماه دیگه تو خونه موندم و مشروب خوردم تا اینکه برم به AA و این دفعه دیگه برای همیشه و به طور واقعی هوشیار بشم. اوکی؟
My last drunk I went to a friend's house for the first time in a long time. It was April 21st, 1995. And I did all the crazy stuff I always did, but I was supposed to just be there for a day or two, and I ended up being there for like 4 days. And my daughter was there, and I remember like her just saying, crying, like, I want to go home, I want to go to school, you know, and I was just totally drunk. And I remember going and looking at her in the room, she was asleep, and I was like, she was 9. I was like, wow, what happened? She seemed so big. I was like, what happened to all the years of like just drinking day rolled into day? You know, everything was a blur. I was just looked up. I was like, God, I just want to be myself again. I don't want to be super cool or whatever. Just want to be me. So I called my sister-in-law and she said, you never have to do this again. This could be as bad as it gets. It can be your bottom. And for some reason, I heard her this time and it gave me a whole lot of hope.
اوکی. آخرین باری که یادم مشروب خوری کردم، رفته بودم بعد از مدت‌های زیاد خونه یکی از دوستام، میخواستم یه شب بمونم ولی تبدیل شد به 4 شب و همه اون کارهای دیوانواری رو که همیشه میکردم باز دوباره انجام دادم. 21 آپریل 1995 بود و همونطور که گفتم موندن من 4 روز طول کشید. تمام اون 4 روز من مست بودم و دخترم باهام بود و یادمه که دخترم هی به میگفت میخوام برم خونه، میخوام برم مدرسه، اتاقم رو میخوام. و یه بار بچه من خواب بود، من رفتم نگاهش کردم و با خودم گفتم چطوری این 9 سال گذشت و این بچه من چجوری بزرگ شد. دیگه دلم نمیخواست اینجوری باشه، دلم نمیخواست مشروب بخورم، زندگیشو میس کنم، نفهمم چی شده. و یادمه که زنگ زدم به خواهر شوهرم و بهم گفت تو دیگه مجبور نیستی اینجوری زندگی بکنی. و من به پایین فکر میکردم که رسیدم. اوکی؟ Your sister-in-law.
I started going to meetings, and they said 90 meetings in 90 days. I went to like 3 meetings, sometimes 4 meetings a day. I got into service. They were like, here, do this. And so I got right into service. And to me, it's like, you know, I just started working the steps. They seemed so much easier than living the life I was living. And it seemed like my last hope. So, and you know, AA was like the first place. You know how they say will love you so you can love yourself. I thought that was like really corny and like I didn't like it, but they did and they do. Even when I feel, you know, forget, you know, their stuff has given me so much. And service was just a way for me, gave me a way of practicing doing things sober and learning how to go out in the world too and do things sober, like walk through fears and stuff.
اوکی من رفتم جلسه رفتم به جلسه و به هم گفتن که 90 روز باید بیای به 90 تا جلسه و من 3-4 تا جلسه در روز می رفتم و خیلی سریع شروع کردم به خدمت کردن و خیلی سریع شروع کردم به قدم ها رو کار کردن و این زندگی خیلی راحت تر از زندگی قبلیم بود خیلی بیشتر دوست داشتم برام راحت تر بود یادتون میاد که تو کتاب گفته دوستان ما تو ای ای میگن ما انقدر ادامه میدیم به دوست داشتن تو تا تو خودت شروع کنی به دوست داشتن خودت و به نظر من اصلا خیلی این حرف مسخره میومد اما واقعا اونا این کارو کردن اونا انقدر منو دوست داشتن و ادامه دادم به دوست داشتن من تا من خودم هم شروع کردم خودم رو دوست داشته باشم و خدمت یه چیزی بود که منو آورد به جلو و منو آورد تو دل ای ای و دنیا اوکی؟ سرویس
Oh yeah So and I'm supposed to talk about 6 and 7 I noticed the time I'm sorry
okay.
I remember when I had like 6 months sober and I thought I was really depressed. I thought things weren't getting back, happening fast enough and whatever. So I went and I bought some alcohol and I smoked it. But instead of drinking it, I called a friend and he came over and poured it out. And I remember like 3 days after that, my daughter coming to me and saying, you know what, Mom, I don't just sit in my room and watch TV and eat all day anymore because I'm more active now because I'm happy now. And, you know, they say don't quit before the miracle happens. But to me, as long as I'm sober, the miracle's happening. Oftentimes, I'm just looking in the wrong direction at what I don't have or stuff like that. So I'm really grateful to be sober. And to, you know, I went back to school. I graduated. My daughter went to, like, she got into all these colleges. She went to a really good college on the East Coast, and I've been given more than I could ever dream of, and, you know.
Okay. الیسا میگه ببخشید من باشی به قدم 6 و 7 قرار بود صحبت کنم. یه کمی پراکندگویی گفتم و حالا من یکم تونتون ترجمه میکنم حرفاشو. میگه اوایل چیزا برای من تو ای بهتر نمیشد. خوب. زود چیزای خوب برای من اتفاق نمی افتاد و یه روز یادم رفتم یه بطری الکل برداشتم بوش کردم و میخواستم بخورمش اما نخوردمش تلفن زدم به جاش به یک دوستی و اومد و من ریختمش دور و معجزات کم کم برای من توی ایه اتفاق افتاد و دخترم رفت به یک کالج خیلی خوب و برای من چیزهایی اتفاق افتاد که خیلی بیشتر از اونی که تصور می‌کردم خوب بود. اوکی؟
Step 6 and 7 are something that I continue to work on. You know, more is revealed. I'm really grateful for the kindness of the steps because it says just a willingness. You know, willingness for God to remove these defects of character and just, you know, sometimes I do better than others, but I'm just grateful for the opportunity to keep trying. I know that sometimes, like, there are certain character defects that I didn't see. Like, I just noticed like they talk about peeling the onion. Like, I know my family would say, like, listen, just, you know, there's some fighting that would happen with my mother. They'd say, just be nice and, you know, just be pleasant or whatever. And I didn't get it until, like, a number of years later. I was like, oh, my God, it's like the fighting, like, I saw my part, like, that I'm partly responsible for it. So, like, just stop doing it. So slowly.
حالا میگه راجب شروع کردم به کار کردن قدم ها و همینطور برای من چیزهای بیشتر و بیشتری خودش رو نشون میداد تو زندگی و برای من خودش رو باز میکرد و برام تو زندگی چیزهای جدیدی مشخص میشد و تمایل خیلی مهمه. فکر میکنم الیسا راجب قدم 6 داره میگه الان و من بابت موقعیت هایی که تونستم سعی بکنم برای تمایل داشتن سپاسگزارم از خدا و مثل یه پیازی میمونه که تو همینجور هی بخوای پوستشو بکنی تا برسی به وسطش. و یادم میاد یه روز راجب نواقص شخصیتی صحبت میکنه، یه روز مادرم بهم گفت خوش اخلاق باش، مهربون باش و من نمیفهمیدم چی میگه، ولی بعدن متوجه شدم که باید زبونم رو نگه دارم و یه چیزایی رو نگم. و اینجوری میگه که قدم 6 برای من تجربه‌ش رو داره میگه دیگه از قدم 6. اوکی your mom.
Oh, okay, so I see that I'm almost out of time, so you know, and now you know things are much better, but you know all I could do is just the best I can, you know, and just keep trying, and that's enough. Like my character defects are what I think they are or whatever, you know, because it says in the 7th step prayer is to my creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. But it's you know, character defect that stands in my way of my usefulness, not that so I could be the person that I think I could be, or you know, be flawless or whatever. That's not life, you know. It's just like I need to like have the humility that it talks about in step 7, just to be a person among people, like no people to please, just do the best I can and let that be good. You know, it has to be good enough, so can't do any better.
اوکی میگه الان چیزا خیلی بهتره، من فقط میتونم سعی کنم که بهترینی رو که میتونم انجام بدم و همین کافیه، همین برای من کافیه. و میدونی نواقص شخصیتی من منو از قابل استفاده بودن در زندگی باز میداره و تمایل مهمترین چیزه در قدم ششم. و تو قدم هفتم هم واقعا باید با فروتنی، یعنی منم یک آدمم وسط آدمهای دیگه، منم یک بخشی از زندگیم. و اونجایی که میگه که خداوند من الان آمادم که همه خوب و بد خودم رو به تو بسپرم و ازت میخوام که تمام یک یک نقصهای من رو بگیری، اون نقصهایی که صد راه بین من و هم نوعان من است که اونایی که تو آفریدی اونا رو بر من برطرف کنی و به من یه قدرتی بدی که بتونم به تو خدمت بکنم. و این الیسا میگه آخر فروتنیه که تو بفهمی یه بخشی کوچیک از یه چیز گنده هستی. اوکی
I've seen that. I think that's all the time we have. I'm sorry I spent so much time on the drinking. Next time or
that was great.
It's a major honor. You're great. Thank you so much for
we all need to hear that, to remember where we come from. That was great. I am honored to be your translator, Elisa. You're one hell of a lady. I congratulate you and thanks for coming to Iran to our meeting. دوستان عزیزم، الیسا میگه من راجب قدم 6 و 7 همین رو داشتم بهتون بگم. ببخشید که یه ذره کم گفتم. من بیشتر وقتم رو برای توضیح زمانهای مشروب خوردنم گذاشتم و منم بهش گفتم که ما همه شاید باید یادآور میشدیم که اون زمانها چطوری بودیم. الیسا، I want to thank you. You can stay in the meeting. They're going to share in Farsi or you may leave. Anything you do, I thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Elisa صحبتش تموم شد و از همه تشکر کرد و منم از جانب گروه آقای ابراهیم عزیز از الیسا تشکر کردم. صدا هم طبق معمول خیلی بد بود، انگار از ته چاه میومد صداش. این شانس منه.